Okay, everybody, a Lag BaOmer Sameach, a Lag Sameach, a Lichtige Lag BaOmer, whatever you choose. But it is Lag BaOmer here in Eretz Yisrael, and today's daf is Yuma Daf Yud Ches. We are here on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're really at the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, but to get a good background in terms of what we're talking about, I could describe it, or I think it'd be easier just to read it straight up, because it really is very straightforward. In the text. So we're going to start off, again, after we mention that today's Shir is B'schus Refu Shlema for Nami Mira Bashan Rav Karezel, and for Shir Bestura Leia, and for Yoshua Chaim Ben Chana Yehudis. So we're going to mention, we're going to start, let's see here. Okay, so I went to about 15 lines up. Notel Chala Mishte Chalos. We're talking about the Kohen Gadol's ability, right? If you see the two dots in the Torah abundance, they're about five lines down from there. We're talking about the Kohen Gadol's ability to take whatever he wants. So the Brisa says, "Venotel chala mishtei chalos." He can take one chala out of the two chalos for that are brought, the shtei alechem that are brought on Shavuos. Arba o chamesh b'maisa alechem upon him, and he can take four or five, depending on the scenario, as we'll see today on Yud Ches. Depending on what the case is, what the scenario is, he can take either four or five out of the lechem upon him. There were 12 lechem upon him. The Kohen Gadol can take four or five. That's the Chachamim Shita, the Tanakama Shita, that the Kohen Gadol takes less than the Kohanim would take. He takes a little bit less than half. Rebbe Omer Olam Chamesh, really he takes five. Shnamar Vayisol Aaron Ulvanov, Mechzel Aaron Mechzel Lebanov. The Rebbe says the drasha, that the Kohen Gadol gets half, and the other Kohanim get half. And therefore, he takes five and five. Weren't there 12 lechem upon him? Weren't there 12? So the Gemara will talk about that today. So the Gemara points out, Hagufa Kasha. Well, isn't that a stira? Because Amarta Notel Chala Achas Mishni Chalos, right? The first part of the Brisa says that he takes one out of two of the Shtei Alechem, which is half. Then money, right? Who is that? That's Rebbe Shita, the Amar Palga Shaka, that says that the Kohen Gadol takes half. Eimam Mitziyasa, but what about the middle of the Brisa? Right? It says four or five, right? Arbo Chamesh, V'maisa Lechem upon him, right? The Kohen Gadol takes four or five, Asan Rabban. That's the Rabban Shita, the Amri Lo Shaka Palga, who say that he doesn't get half, he gets a little bit less than half. But that Eimam Seifa, what about the end of the Brisa? Rebbe Omer Lo Olam Chamesh, and Rebbe says he takes five. So the Gemara says, "Reishis Sefer Rebbe Mitzias Rabbanan." Well, you tell me that the first and the last statement of the Brisa is Rebbe Shita, and the middle is Rabbanan. So Amar Abaye, no. Abaye says, "Reishis Mitzias Rabbanan." Really, the first two Shitas are the Rabbanan. What about taking one out of the two Shtei Lechem? So Mudra Rabbanan Prusa the Lavo Rechara LeMeisva the Kohen Gadol. The Chachamim agree and they admit that you're not going to break the lechem upon, the shtei lechem in half. That doesn't make sense, right? So even though the Rabbanan say he should take a little bit less than half, right? Still, we're going to give him one out of the two shtei lechem because it's not appropriate to break it in half. Now, Viter. So now the Gemara says on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, "Umay arba o chamesh the Rabbanan." So again, so what is this four or five for the Rabbanan? Meaning, how does that work? So basically, this is based on, the Gemara is about to say, that this is based on the machlokas in Sukkah, in terms of giving out the lechem upon him. So the Mishnah there says, it's machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, in terms of how much the incoming mishmaros and the outgoing mishmaros get. Now we know that, again, a mishmar refers to the turn of the Kohanim to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Kohanim didn't serve in the Beis HaMikdash all the time, they took turns, right? Each family got, let's say, 2 weeks or whatever it was. So, and there was a cycle. So, on Lechem Aponim, when they gave out Lechem Aponim after Shabbos, so who got the Lechem Aponim? Meaning the incoming people, the outgoing people, who was that? Which Mishmar got the Lechem Aponim? So, Chachamim said that you give all 12 loaves, right, of the Lechem Aponim, and Rabbi Yehuda says you split up the 10. And the other two, what about the other two loaves? So that goes to the people who are coming, because that's going to give them the schar for the people who kind of stand by the doors and make sure the doors of the Beis HaMikdash are closed. What do you mean? The door of the Heichal, meaning the door of the Azara, the door of the Chayil. Right? There are a bunch of doors that need to be open and needs to be closed after Shabbos by the people who are coming in. So therefore, the people who are coming in, right, they have come a little early. Right, so basically they got that extra money, that extra food, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara is going to say, right, now, well, let's now go with that background. Let's read the Gemara. So the Rabbanan de Amrei Nichnas Notel Sheish Yotzi Notel Sheish. Right, again, as we pointed out, according to the Rabbanan, right, you split it. You give six loaves to the mishmar coming in and six loaves to the mishmar going out. So Uschar Hagav is Delosos Lo, but and you don't take any loaves for the people who are closing the doors of the Beis HaMikdash right on Matzei Shabbos. So therefore, mishtei lechem boi miflag. Mishtei mesrei boi miflag. So then you're gonna divide 12 loaves in half, and therefore the kohen gadol, right, theoretically gets six, but batzir chad mipalga, you take one out of the half, right? Again, as according to the chachamim, the kohen gadol gets a little bit less than half. So therefore, chamesh shakel. In that scenario, he'll take five. How does he take four? So the Chachamim here are not necessarily taking sides. They're just saying, depending on whether you hold like the Chachamim in Sukkah or Rabbi Yehuda in Sukkah, the Kohen Gadol will get either four or five. Right? This is not the Chachamim here lining up the Chachamim there. It's just the Bryce is explaining, depending on who you hold like in Sukkah, the Kohen Gadol will either take five, like we just explained, or it'll take four, as we're about to explain right now. The Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Nichnas, Notel Sheva, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the people, the Mishmar that's coming in, get seven loaves, and so Shtayim Bischari, Hagavos, Dlosos, two for closing the doors, and Viote Notel Chamesh, right, meaning two for the doors, and what's unstated is that they get five as their normal portion, and Viyotzei Notel Chamesh, and the people who are leaving get five loaves. So then, Me'eser Boim Miflag. So the Kohen Gadol gets his chelek out of ten. Right, again, because going to Rabbi Yehuda, right, you give two loaves to the Kohanim who are guarding the doors. So Botzi Chad Mipalgos, and then according to this sheet of the Chachamim that says the Kohen Gadol gets less than half, to take one away from half, Veshokol Arba, and therefore you should take four. Basically, what's the four or five? The four or five is dependent on that Makloches and Sukkah. If you hold that, you give two out of the 12 Shtei Lechem to the people, to the Kohanim who are guarding the doors, so then you split 10 half and half, and you take one less than half, according to the Rabbanan, and therefore he gets four. According to the Rabbanan and Sukkah, who say that you don't give any bread to the people guarding the doors, so then you split six and six, and the Kohen Gadol gets a little bit less than that, and he would take five. Okay, fine. Now, Rava says differently. He says, no, really, Kula Rebbe. Really, the entire Shita, the entire Brisa, is Rebbe. Vesava like Rebbe Yehuda. And Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda that you give the two loaves to the people who are closing the doors, and right, that's not part of the whole cheshbon over here. So the Kohen Gadol gets five. So Elamai Arba ha Elamai Arba. So what do you mean four or five? Right, ha Chamesh by the Mishkal. Right, he should be getting five. Right, again, because if you remember, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Kohen Gadol gets exactly half. So the Gemara says, "Well, Kasha, how do you get a Mishmar Misakev and how the Lekha Mishmar Ma'akev?" The question is, if you need to take out two loaves for the Mishmar Ma'akev, sometimes there was a Mishmar that had to stay later, meaning when there was some sort of Chag or some sort of what's it called that they couldn't made the Mishmar stay late. Right, they couldn't travel, whatever. If Yantav, let's say, ended on Friday, right, or there was Yantav on Sunday, so you're going to end up with people who were stragglers, right? Their Shabbos ended their week, but right, because of Yantav, so you have people who are sticking around, right? And if, meaning that's if Yantav fell out on Sunday. If Yantav fell out on Friday, so then the new watch who had to show up on Sunday, right, needed to get there early, because you can't travel on Shabbos, right, and they had to get there. So basically, you would take out some extra food for them. So that's, I mean, that in that scenario where you took out the two loaves for those people, for the Mishmar had to stay over, or the Mishmar had to come early, so then you're left with 10 loaves, or even 8 loaves, and right, depending on the scenario, so that would be 4 or 5. Gemara says, okay, Ika Mishmar HaMa'akev, or HaMisakev, right, if there's these Kohanim that's staying over, so Mishmona Boyim Mifag, so then Veshakal Arba, meaning then you take, you split eight in half, and the Kohen Gadol should take four. This is the Gemara explains. Meaning, if there is a Mishmar staying over, so then you give two to the people closing the doors, Kohen Rabbi Yehuda, you give two to the Mishmar HaMisakev, the people staying late, and then you split eight, half and half, and the Kohen Gadol gets four. Ileka Mishmar HaMisakev, if there are people who are not staying over, meaning there's nobody who's staying extra, it's a regular Shabbos, so then Meiser Boy LeMiflag, Me'eser Boy LeMiflag, from 10, right, you split, and then Veshak LeChamesh, the Kohen Gadol takes five. Gemara says, pretty good question, Yehachi, if that's true, okay, but if you remember the end of the Brisa said, Rebbe Omer Lolam Chamesh. Right, again, we said four or five. Rebbe says it's only five. It's always five. So, well, you just told me that, according to Rebbe, right, it could be either four or five. So Gemara says, Enechanami, Kasha. That's a good point. Now, whenever the Gemara says kasha, as opposed to tiyufta, right, mistama, right, the Gemara is implying that there's some sort of answer. So, all right, either way. But the Ritva says that there was almost never a mishmar misakiv, meaning that what the Brisa means to say is that, I think it's the Ritva, that yes, theoretically the Kohen Gadol could get four or five, but there was almost never a mishmar misakiv. I'm not sure why, because Lechor, you already could have when Yantif falls on Friday, Yantif falls on Shabbos, on Sunday. Okay, so again, just a theory, right? It could be that Rebbe just mentioned the most likely scenario, right? After pointing out that it could be four or five, so Rebbe just said that really he always took five because it was almost never a Mishmar HaMisakif. Okay, fine. Now, Vayter, new Mishnah. Now, this is the procedure for teaching the Kohen Gadol and what they did with the Kohen Gadol. And we're continuing with that, right? If you remember, we started the Mishnah is talking about the Kohen Gadol being separated and set aside and prepared for the Yom Kippur service. So, Masru lo zakenim mizikne beizden. They gave the Kohen Gadol a couple of zakenim. V'koren lefan of b'seder ayom. They would read in front of him the whole order of the day. For omrim lo ishi Kohen Gadol. They said, Mr. Kohen Gadol, kara ata b'ficha. Right? Let you read some. Right? Again, it's always easier to learn if you're reading. Right? Shema shechachta, because maybe you forgot, right? It's been a year since you did it. Oh, shema lo lamanta, or maybe you've never learned it. Now the Gemara is immediately going to ask, what do you mean the Kohen Gadol never learned the halachas of Yom Kippur? Are you kidding me? Like, Kohen Gadol was like the greatest Kohen out there. So the Gemara will talk about that in a second. Erev Yom Kippurim on the Shachris, right, and then the Shachris on Erev Yom Kippur. So Mamidun Doso B'Shar Mizrach, they bring him to the right, to the eastern Shar, the eastern gate. Mavir on the Fon of Parim Vayalim Kvasim, they bring before him cows and sheep. And rams, right? The Kadesh Yehi Makir V'Rogil B'Avoda, so he'll be familiar with what exactly he has to do. If you look at, interesting, it's again, it's not, you know, Rashi points out that it's not like he was reading a kid's book, right? He needed to know, this is a cow, right? That's what I'm doing, right, with the little ones, but this is a cow, this is a sheep, no. So if you look at Rashi, Shema Yehi Makir, right, Mitzbonein B'Behemos HaOveros Lefanav, right, he would look at the animals that are walking past him, Laseis Elibo B'Hilchos Seder Ayom, to kind of chazer in his mind, right, what halachos apply to each one, right? You have different korbanos, you have things that are going on. Okay, so they bring before him the animals, the cows, the rams, and the sheep. Kol shiva zayam lo hayu monim mimenu maichol mishta. All 7 days they wouldn't, you know, abstain from giving him any types of food. But me'erev Yom Kippur, then im chashecha, once it got dark, lo hayu manichim oso lechol harbe mipnei hamaychol shamaychol mevi esashena. Right, they wouldn't bring him, give him a lot to eat because again, a lot of food makes a person tired, and as we'll see, a person falls asleep, so there's a concern of Balkari. So there, we're going to see today that there are certain foods that bring someone to be a Balkari. So again, that was a concern. Right? And once you got close to Yom Kippur, again, if it's 6 days before Yom Kippur, so being a Balkari is not a big deal. Right? He goes to the mikveh the next day and he has Erev Shemesh and he's Tahor. Right? But once you're getting close to Yom Kippur, so then they had to be even more careful about Kari. So the Gemara says, Bishlama, the first right away, that it asks the question, what do you mean the Kohen Gadol didn't know the halachos? Bishlama Shema Shachach, if you'll tell me that maybe you forgot them, okay, that makes a lot of sense. So Allah Shema Lo Lamad, right, would you tell me the Kohen Gadol never learned these halachos? Right, never read Chumash? Right, Parshas, last week's Parshas Achrimos. Right, Mimok Minan Ki Agavna. Wait, do you really set that guy who never learned Parshas Achrimos, never learned Chumash, that guy's going to be Kohen Gadol? Vatani will under the Brisa, Vakoin Agodol Me'echov, the Kohen who's greater than his friend, than his brothers, meaning the Kohen Gadol. She hey Gadol Me'echov, Bekoach, Benoi, Bechachma, Ba'osher. He has to, not only can he be a great tzaddik, he has to be strong, he has to be beautiful, he has to be smart, he has to be wealthy. Right, and other people say, and if he doesn't have wealth, how do you know that he has to get wealth from another Kohanim? Right, who's greater than his brothers? Let his brothers make him great, meaning let his brothers give him money if he's not so rich. So the point, again, how could you ever appoint a Kohen Gadol that doesn't know what he's doing, would never learn Chumash? So Rav Yosef said, L'kasha, kam b'mikdash rishon, kam b'mikdash sheni. So this is already, we pointed out several times already in the Masechta, in the couple of weeks we've been learning this, that unfortunately there's a difference between the Kohanim Gedolim and Bayis Rishon and Kohanim Gedolim and Bayis Sheni. Right, we said the Kohanim Gedolim and Bayis Rishon were great tzaddikim, they served over 40, 50, 60 years. And by Sheni, right? They were, unfortunately, they were not tzaddikim, right? As the Gemara is about to point out, Amar Rav Asi, Tarkav de dinari ailele Marta bas besus. Marta bas besus paid a tarkav of dinars, which is a lot of money, le Yanai Malka, to King Yanai, al de okme le Yoshua ben Gamla be kohane ravrivi. That to make the Yoshua ben Gamla the what's it called? The Kohen Gadol. And you see that again, that we've pointed out before again, that another example that they used to pay to make the Kohanim Gedolim to for the right to be the Kohen Gadol, and very often they wouldn't live out the year. Now this is a bit of a strange story. Tosus already points out this is not Yanai HaMelech, who killed all the Chachamim, who was a terrible Rasha. Must have been a different Yanai, because the Gemara says in Kiddushin that Yanai took the Kohen Gadol position for himself, as there's no way he would have given that up, even with a lot of money, a bribe of a lot of money. So it must have been a different Yanai, that's A. And B, it's an interesting example, because Yoshua ben Gamla was actually a decent guy. The Gemara is going to say later that he was actually did a couple of Xeras and stuff like that, that he was a pretty decent guy. But again, the point here is that you could appoint a Kohen Gadol based on money. Right? Apparently, there's other Rishonim that say maybe he wasn't. Yes, he was a good guy, but he may not have been most qualified. Right? But still, his wife, I guess, paid that money to make sure he would be Kohen Gadol. Right? Again, so you can see that during the second Beis Hamikdash, that's Kohen Gadol, and we're not necessarily the greatest of tzaddikim. Okay. Erev Yom Kippurim Shacharis, we pointed out in the Mishnah that Mamidu Nosa B'Shar Mizrach, right, that would pass the animals in front of him. Tana would learn the Braisa, Af Hasi'irim, right? Even the goats, right? If you remember, the Mishnah didn't mention goats. The Mishnah mentioned cows, rams, and sheep. So the Braisa said, even the goats. V'tandidan, my time alot hanasirim. So why didn't our Mishnah mention the goats, right? Again, the goats, two identical goats. One went up as a korban Lashem. One went off la'azazel, right, kicked off a cliff. So the Gemara says, kevin de'alcheit ka'asu. So since the goats are to atone for sins, so chal shadayte. So the Kohen Gadol will get upset, bother him. So we didn't want to do that too early. The Gemara says, yihachi parnami. Well, what about the cow? Right, the cow's also right. Al chaytu da'asi. Right, the cow comes to atone for the sins of the kohanim and al bnei beso, etc. So the Gemara says, par kimin to Allah v'al echo of a kohanim. Since the cow and the bull, probably more accurately, the bull was more was for him and the kohanim's sins. So who da'asi v'echo of a kohanim? Iika inish disbe milsa made the yadile. Right, umahadile b'tshuva. So see, the Kohen Gadol probably knew what was going on with the Kohanim. Right? Kohen Gadol was always in the Beis HaMikdash, right? He was like the boss, right? He knew what was going on with his workers. He knew what was going on with the Kohanim. Right? So if there were any sins that needed to be taken care of, so he was already familiar and he was already starting to help them do tshuva. Right? So, so that's like, okay, so you could deal with the par that was to atone for any sins of the Kohanim because he was already working on it. But Bekulu Yisrael, through all of Am Yisrael, so lo yada, he didn't know anything. So that already might make him distracted and sad and maybe kind of in a bad mood to realize that maybe there are some sins here that need atoning. Am Ravina. Ravina says, "Hey, Madam Inchi, I bar achtech daila havi chazi b'shuka kamei lo tachlif." What the phrase is that if your sister, literally bar achte, if the son of your sister is dailahu, works for the police or the state, so chazi b'shuka kamei, don't see him in the street, in the marketplace, lo tachlif, right, don't pass in front of him, because mistama, right, everybody if the family works for the government, so then the family knows how much money is involved in the family, and mistama, he could hit you up for taxes, right, if you get too close to him. Okay. That's apparently was a phrase. Kol shivas ha'amim lo hayu monim. All 7 days they did not take food away from him. And then and later, once it got close to Yom Kippur, then they would. So Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa says, Machilin oso saltos ubeitzim. They would feed him. Now this doesn't mean salat, right? Salat in Israel is with a tet, but salat, saltos here is lashon soles, which is a very nice flour. Ubeitzim and eggs. Kedei lemasmaso, to help out his digestive system, clean him out, right? To make sure that that he would be clean and ready to roll, right? That he wouldn't have to go to the bathroom so much on Yom Kippur. So Amrulo. Now, if you, okay, fine, right there. Amrulo, they said to him, "Kol shekein shetam evi lidechimum." One second, but if you feed him those foods, right, you bring him to be right, that apparently increases the risk of being a carry, of a bal carry. You warm him up, apparently. I'm not sure how that works scientifically, but okay. Find that those foods bring a person to be warmer, and then that was more dangerous. So therefore, they disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa. They wouldn't feed that to the Kohen Gadol. Tanya will never buy. So Sumchus Amar, Sumchus says, Ben Shom Rabbi Meir, name of Rabbi Meir, in Machilin also, lo Abi, V'amri lo ababi, and what abi and ababi are is an acronym for different foods that they would not feed him because you know they may bring him to become a carry either straight away or because they may cause him to fall asleep and then we're concerned he may become a bal carry. Some people say aflo yayin lavan, and some people say not even white wine. Now I didn't explain those abbreviations because the Gemara does, right? So the Gemara says lo avi, what is that? Lo etrog vo beitzim vlo yayin yashin, right? Etrog, beitzim, old wine, they wouldn't give them that. Vamrilei lo abavi, what's the extra base? Lo etrog vo beitzim vlo basar shamen, fat meat, vlo yayin yashin. Okay, not old wine. V'yishomrim aflo yayin lavan mipnei shehayayin mevi lidei esa adam lidei toma. Right, okay, they also maybe perhaps not white wine because wine brings a person to be perhaps tame, again, toma through balkari. Right, again, either they fall asleep or because it would lead to that straight away. We learned in a brisa. Once we're mentioning foods that affect a person's emissions, so zav, if a man sees a re'iyah, some sort of type of emission that would make him a zav, so the halacha is that if you can attribute the reason that he's being a zav to something that happened in your life, for example, if you ate too much of X or drank too much of Y or did some other things, so then that does not count as a zav. So zav, tolin lo, then we can make his Zav status dependent on, we can say, we can attribute his Zav status to Michael, the kol mine Michael, but to food, meaning we can say if he had some certain types of food and he saw an emission, so that's because of the food, it's not because he's actually a Zav. Allah's been Pinchas Omer Mishim Rabbi Yehuda ben Sera in Machilin also lo Chagbi velo Gabo. And not anything that brings him to become tame, right, through to create a balkari. And the Gemara is going to explain what those things are. What's chagbi, what's gabam, and what's hadvarim hamevin le detuma, right? That seems to be something else that's not listed. So the Gemara says, lo chagbi, what's that? Lo chalav gvina, lo beitzav, lo yayin. Okay, what's that? Milk, cheese, eggs, and wine. Lo gabam, and not the gabam, me grisin shalpul. Me grisin shalpul is like beans, some sort of mixture with beans, ubas or shamin, fat meat, umarius, and marius is some sort of fish. Vilukom devar mevin le detuma, what is that? Lusuye maya, what is that coming to include? Lusuye ha, to include this, the Tanur Rabbanan with the Baisa, chamesh devar mevim adam le detuma, five things bring a person to become tame through be a balkari. Ve'eluhin, these are them. Hashum, that's garlic, vashchalin, that I think is cress. Chaloglos, I don't know what that is. Beitzim are obviously eggs, and gargir, and I'm not sure what gargir is either. Some sort of, I assume, some sort of vegetable. Rashi says aruga. I don't speak French, so that's not helpful. Okay, now once we mention that gargir, so now we're going to say point out something else. I think it's a plant, if I'm not mistaken. Vayetze echad el asode lilkot orot. One of them went out to the field to gather orot. That's a pasuk in Malachim Beis. Yeah. Okay. Tana mishmei Rabbi Meir ze gargir orot is referring to gargir. Amar Rabbi Yochanan lamenik roshma orot. Why do they call orot? It literally means lights. Shemir is a zainayim. Apparently, they were healthy for your eyes. Amar Ravuna. Rufuna says, Amotzi gargir, if you have some gargir plant, and yachol ochlo ochlo, if you can eat it, you should eat it, vimlav, but if you can't eat it for whatever reason, maviro al gabe enav. You should rub it on your eyes. Amra papa, gargira, matsrena. Apparently that grows on the outside of the field by itself. Rashi says that it should be grown by itself, because if other plants are using the soil around it, it becomes weaker. Okay, fine. Amar Rav Gidol Amarav. Amar Rav Gidol Amarav says, "Achsonai lo yochal beitzim. A guest should not eat eggs. Flo yishem metaliso shel balabais, and should not sleep in the host's clothing." As Rashi points out, because it might come to bring heaven a mission, and that would be embarrassing, right? If the host notices. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I forget who comments, but I saw in the Masifta One of the Rishonim or Achronim point out, didn't we just list all these random things? Why do we just mention eggs? So I forget who it was, but one of them understands this line of the Gemara that no, it's not just eating eggs. What the Gemara means here is that if you eat raw eggs, right, so then it could be if the whites of a raw egg, if that drips onto your clothing, that looks like a keri, and that would be embarrassing. So therefore, what the Gemara is saying here, don't eat raw eggs at a guest's house, right, at someone else's house, because it could drip on your clothing, then it could look like you're a bal keri. Okay, fine, very interesting take on the Gemara I just thought I'd mention. Rav ki mikla the darshish. Also, very strange Gemara. Rav ki mikla the darshish. When Rav would show up in Darshish, which is a town, machris, he would announce, man havya liyoma. Who would want to be for a day? And what that means is, who wants to marry me for a day? And Rav Nachman similarly, kad makla l'shachnetziv, when he would come to Shachnetziv, so he would also, machris, he would announce, man havya liyoma, who would like to marry me for the day? Meaning, they were married already, but they were traveling, and apparently it was difficult, theoretically, pashup shot, it was difficult for them to be unmarried for a day, so who wants to marry me while I'm here for one day, and then obviously you would divorce, and then go on your merry way, which is fascinating, because what in the world, these Gedolei Torah, really, for real, these unbelievable Tanaim and Amoraim and Tzadikim, couldn't control themselves for one day, if a person can't, so they're that's, I guess, theoretically a mutter way to take care of things. But really, one day they're traveling? Well, it says Lioma for one day. It wasn't traveling for so long. Couldn't control this. Couldn't be without their wives for one day. So I saw the Ben Yoyada says that no. The pshat is here is that in these two towns, it was common for people to delay getting married for whatever reason. And the, what was it, Rav and Rav Nachman wanted to impress upon them the importance of getting married, right, at a decent age, right, while a person, is younger, to avoid all these averus and irurim. So they went around saying, oh, I need to be married for one day, just to kind of not, obviously not to really be married for one day, but they announced it, right? Again, it's a crazy thing to announce, right? Again, you're talking about Rav, Rav Nachman, like, what does that mean? So Ben Yoyada says that it was to give everybody mussar to be like, listen, this is how important it is to be married, right? So this is, they were trying to exaggerate, right? So it's trying to give a little mussar in that way. Okay. But either way, the pashtus is that they would try and get married for a day. Right? V'atanya, one of the rabbis, I didn't know the rabbis of Elizabeth and Yaakov Omar, lo yisa adam isha b'medina zu, v'yelech v'yisa b'misha b'medina acheres. Person shouldn't just have wives all over the place, marry a woman in one country, then marry a woman in another country, because what might happen, right? Again, technically, it's mutter, right? You can marry women, two women. But Shema, what would happen? Shema is davgu ze itzal ze. Finim says, no se hazar choso. What it might happen? Well, if you marry two women in two different countries, so maybe your children, maybe they have a boy with this wife, a girl with that wife, right? And then those two people will meet each other one day, they get married, and it's brother and sister. Mamzerus. And then the kids will be mamzerim. On this, the pasuk says, and the world will be filled with zima, with inappropriate, with immorality, and etc. So Amri said, Rabbanan Kala Islay. He said, no. When Rabbanan, right, these Rabbanan were famous, right? They had a voice. They would be anybody who was a son of Rav, or son of, or daughter of Rav Nachman, or whatever, so people would know who they were. So nobody would, that wasn't an issue over here. Rava says, one second, Tavu li nasi vinis paisa, tzvicha leishiv shivanakim. A different issue. If a woman accepts a proposal of marriage, so says Rava, she has to wash 7 nakim, because we assume that she was so excited that some blood may have come out. Right? It could have been that some blood came out of her rechem. So the Gemara says, so how does that work? I mean, how could you get married for a day? So the Gemara says, Rabbanu naduye have a modilu. So the Rabbanu would say, right, they would tell everybody that they were coming, right, a week in advance. Right, they would send a messenger, right, so that if anybody accepted this proposal, so then, right, they would have a week to observe Shiva Nikim, and then on the eighth day, the Rav would get there. Or some people say, again, or they would just be miyachid them. They would not be miyachid with them, with the new wives, and not actually have bia with them, mamish. Which apparently they were not according to this part, understanding the Gemara, the intention here is not to marry for the person's Yetzirah, but shestam, to be married, to have a wife is also right. Again, a person should not be married, should not be unmarried. Right? What does the pasuk say? It says, I'm blanking. Lo tove yos adam levado. Right? That's a lo ezer kenegdo. Right? Man shouldn't be unmarried, shouldn't be away from his wife and separate. But lemaisa, according to this understanding, lechora, they did not have intentions to have bia, so therefore they would just be miyachid with them. And then lafisha inu doma mishayishlo pas basalo misha inlo pas basalo, because there's no comparison. You can't compare someone who has literally means bread in his basket to someone who doesn't have bread in their basket. What that means is that if you have an ability to have bia, right? Again, a person is less tempted when he has an easy way to get out of his taivas, right? Again, if a person is living with his wife, so again, we're not concerned. Certain scenarios, right, that a person, like for example, when a person's wife is anidas, there's no isra yichud, as opposed to when a person's not married, so there is an isra yichud. Right, so that is, even though she's anidas, she's forbidden to him. So again, the husband has able to be with his wife whenever he wants, obviously outside of the nida day. So mechora, since he has pas pesala, since he's able to be with her when he wants, so then, you know, we assume that the taiva is muted a little bit. So to over here that. You know that the rabbis wanted to be able to have this pas pasalo, this ability to be with a woman, right, to kind of decrease their taivas for these areas. Okay, fine. Should we do the Mishnah? Let's stop by the Mishnah. Let's stop on the Mishnah, because the Gemara obviously will depart on the Mishnah. Okay, very good. Rabosai Shkoi Gadol. And again, just one more word on this whole kind of thing. It seems almost, in our eyes, it seems almost crude that these Rabbanim would do this. But it could be very well, again, in Pashup Shat, that the Rabbanim knew themselves. Right? How great is it to have a person who knows their strengths and weaknesses? And it could be that these two Rabbanim just knew that they had an overwhelming urges in these areas, and they needed to make sure that everything would be kedasa kedina, it could be halacha, right? I don't think we would look down on a person, right, who, let's say, has an overwhelming urge for pig, let's say, I don't know, for example. I don't think we would look down on a person who kept fake bacon strips, right, kosher bacon strips with them at all times, right, to make sure that they wouldn't end up eating pig. Right? So again, here, obviously, it's a bit of a more intense realm, but again, it's the same idea. If a person knows their Yetzer Hara is strong in one area, so it's very commendable to try and make sure that you avoid a virus in that area, and you're able to kind of placate your taivas in a mutter way. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a great day or night of Lichtige Lag BaOmer, and we'll go weiter in the Geshas tomorrow.